This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
And Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
Welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Here's what's coming up on this week's show. We are joined by Glen Torren's Dara O'Connor. Busy few days for the Glens. They have the rearranged fixture with Crusaders on Tuesday, but not before they take on Ballymena United tonight. We'll be talking to Lauren's number one, Rowan Ferguson. He's been rewarded for his fine form last season with a new contract. The title winners, can they be successful title defenders? We'll be putting those questions to Rowan Ferguson shortly. And the Premier Intermediate League gets underway on Saturday. Representing the league, we'll be hearing from Ballymacash boss Lee Forsyth. It's a derby day to get things underway for them. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Good to have you along once again. How are you keeping? I hope you're doing well. Exciting times ahead. Yeah, I'm just loving how fast and furious it all feels at the moment. I barely know whether I'm coming or going. I'm constantly trying to remind myself what day of the week I'm on. But we are on Friday. And we've three games tonight. Ballymena United against Glen Torren. Dungannon Swifts are at home to Coleraine. And Loughall Glenavon, the Mid-Ulster Derby at Lakeview Park. Loughall winning a derby outing last weekend in Dungannon and hoping for more success. Glenavon trying to get their first points of the season. The Saturday fixtures, three games in the top flight. Linfield against Carrick Rangers. Newry City against Crusaders and Cliftonville versus Larne, which is a live game this weekend at 5:30. I shall be at Solitude. Cliftonville trying to bounce back after a narrow loss at Linfield. I think Linfield had the game plan pretty much well worked out, to be honest, and they did a very good job. And isn't Joel Cooper looking every bit the superstar in this campaign? Very, very impressive from him. And when you're talking about impressive Linfield players, the other player grabbing the headlines, and rightfully so, is Chris McKee, who is looking like a man who backs himself for a goal every time he gets a little sniff in the penalty area, showing the quality and the promise that many of us did see in him in the last couple of seasons. But he's maturing, he's developing, and he is performing. And Crusaders, wow. 9-0 on Tuesday against Carrick Rangers. Ben Kennedy, absolutely unplayable. He got four goals. His volley was phenomenal, but every finish was well taken and showed the calibre of player that he is. And those four goals coming after Paul Heatley had opened the scoring after the break. Philip Laurie, Billy Joe Burns, Jimmy Callagher and James Thielen all got in the act against the 10 men of Carrick Rangers, who probably wish it wasn't Linfield this weekend. But then again, it's an opportunity for them to go out against one of the big teams and try and right some wrongs off the back of the Cliftonville defeat, which was a 4-0 loss. It's not happy times at Carrick Rangers, despite the fact that they did have the big and exciting news of a takeover, a new majority shareholder in the club, and the American businessman Michael Smith. So we will, I guess, watch that one with interest to see whether this is just a really difficult little spell that can be forgotten about with better results in time to come, or whether there's something bigger brewing at Carrick Rangers. They'll certainly be hoping not after such an impressive season last season. It's not losing to the teams, it's the manner of the defeats that are going to be a cause for concern. But look, let's get into the guests ahead. As I say, Rowan Ferguson coming up a little later on in the programme, and Lee Forsyth. But first, it's Dara O'Connor of Glentoran. And Dara, you've settled in rightly at the Glens. How are you finding things?
How's it going? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. It's been a good start. Picked up two good wins against Glenavon and Loughgall. We're probably disappointed not to come away with anything against Larne. But no, the early signs are quite promising. We're gelling well with a few good signings over the summer. So I think there's a bit of a buzz around Glentoran this time of year. And I know they probably say that every year, but confident this year we'll get some good things done.
You have Irish League experience behind you anyway, so you knew what the league had to offer. Was there any hesitation, however, about leaving Scotland and returning to Northern Ireland?
Not massively, no. I kind of had it in my head for a while towards the end, latter end of the season, but granted we were in a promotion fight and we got to the playoffs against Partick Thistle. And had we got promoted, the year left my contract, obviously, I probably would have gambled to try to get a year in the Premier Division over there for sure. But once I kind of realised we were staying in that league for the following season, I kind of had my mind made up to come back, to be honest. As when I left Cliftonville to come over, I didn't think the standard was massively different than the Irish League, to be honest. Obviously, there's a bit of a disparity between the top six and the bottom six traditionally in this league. And I think the top six would comfortably do very well over in the Scottish Championship. So it ticked a lot of boxes for me to come back, being close to the family. The partner's family is from here, my family down in Wicklow. And the kind of the opportunity to go and win a league and play in Europe, and that was kind of too hard to turn down. So I think it did tick a lot of boxes for me. So I was glad to come back and started relatively well so far.
What have your new teammates been like? Obviously, a new manager in as well now, so it's a clean slate for many people at Glentoran.
Yeah, absolutely. You've heard different stories over the years of Glentoran this, Glentoran that, and when you're not involved in it, you're not fully privy to what's going on in the back end. But since I've walked in, everything's been spot on. Things have been professional. They've taken players' advice on board with regards to different things off the pitch and on the pitch. And it's a very open-minded club, and I've enjoyed my time there. Warren's been a breath of fresh air since he's come in. Very honest. Doesn't have much time for bluffers across the dressing room. He wants things his way, and the boys follow on. And I think he's going to be a good success for us going forward. Everyone's on board. And all the players kind of would want to run through a brick wall for me. That type of character. So the lads have been good. They've obviously finished the season strongly the latter end of last season under Rodney, and they've kind of all been looking to do one further this year. So we're all kind of rowing in the same direction, which the fans can get behind us. It can only mean one thing, and it's a positive outlook for the season.
And it's incredible. I was talking to David Jeffrey about this the other night. People are, you know, using words like pressure, and every game is being billed as nearly the end of the world if it doesn't go in the way of any particular team. All this hyperbole, maybe with all the eyes on it and people knowing how competitive the league is the cause of that. But as a player, how do you keep level-headed and not let it become so, you know, season-defining every single time you step out onto the pitch? Because it can't be, really, can it?
Yeah, that's correct. Listen, it's a very, very tight league, and I think ask any manager, player, spectator, pundit across the league that anyone can beat anyone, and it's a very cliche thing to say, but that is the case, particularly across the top six. When, if say we play Cruz, if you play Linfield, Glentoran, Cliftonville, all these teams, you're not going to beat six of them twice a year for four times a year every time. Teams are going to knock points off each other, particularly this stage of the season. There's never, I don't think, any need to panic. It's a long, long season. And like, if you look at last year, obviously when Glentoran started unbelievably well, they, by all accounts, by fans in the media, the league wrapped up by November, and you can see how quickly things change. So I think it's all about getting momentum at the right times, and if you're always in the pack and kind of get momentum after Christmas like Larne did last year, it's a long way to go. Larne lost 4-0 to Glentoran at one stage last year. I think, and I'm sure there was panic stations across the fans at that stage, and look how it worked out for them. So I think you have to take everything with a pinch of salt and look at it objectively over the course of the season. That one game doesn't define anything, and even two or three bad games doesn't define a season. So I think as players, we're privy to that over the years, that we know how the league operates, and you know how tight it is, and never get too high, never get too low with results. And if you just keep doing the right things 80-90% of the time, the league table normally sorts itself out. So that would be my point of view on it. The rest of the boys are probably of a similar mindset, I'd imagine. So yeah, that's probably how we look at it as players.
Because that game against Loughgall, there were people wondering, well, how will they fare after losing out against Larne? Will they be able to bounce straight back. And it was a difficult night. Plenty of chances created, and you got what proved to be the winning goal. But I have to say, I was very impressed with what Loughall did, not just on the night, but what they've offered to the league so far, being a new team up.
Yeah, and as I said, like, I obviously had played in the league previously, but Loughall weren't in the division when I was with Cliftonville previously, so it was an unknown quantity to me, and it's a tight pitch for me as a winger. It obviously would like space and whatnot, but they, what I would describe as a classic away game in the Irish League against a team that's just been promoted, they'd be full of confidence after coming up. They'd be riding the wave of used to winning games, and they went into that with no fear. They're obviously the underdogs, and they gave a good crack. That being said, we did have a chance. I think we hit the post twice. I thought once I scored that the floodgates might open and we might put 2 or 3 past them, and we arguably should have. But it's still that early stage of the season where boys are kind of ironing out that rust that they would have over the off season and pre-season. And I think, ask any footballer, they only feel fully up to speed no matter what you do in pre-season, 4, 5, 6 games into the season. So as warranted after the game, I think the main thing is come away with 3 points, whether it's the ugliest game of football or not. At this stage of the season, it is about getting points on the board and maybe fine-tuning little things as the season progresses. So definitely wasn't a game for the ages, but I will take credit in taking the goal and moving on. I did my confidence good to get the match winner and go forward. It was just a shame that the Crusaders game got cancelled straight after, because we probably would have gone into that with some confidence after getting a win straight away after getting knocked back by Larne. So yeah, that's kind of it.
It's where I do feel sorry for Glentoran and Glentoran fans, with the ground in that basin and with you being beside a body of water anytime there's heavy rain, and it was torrential. You just knew that game was always going to be in severe doubt, and so it proved to be the case. But responding after the Larne game, and I know you've said don't, you know, get too high, don't get too low, but I'm sure you were all disappointed after the match, because it's an early tester, isn't it, against the current champions, and you came out the wrong side in the scoreline.
Yeah, look, it's close, fine margins. We lost 2-1, unfortunately, probably 2 individual mistakes, and that happens in football. And we, if it's one person one week, it's probably the next person another week. We put our arms around each other and get on with it in that capacity. Even though we conceded 2 goals as attackers, we probably didn't do enough to threaten in both halves, to be honest. We weren't fully up to speed for whatever reason. Larne obviously had a bit between their teeth after crumbling against Dungannon the week before, so it was probably a dangerous time to play them, because they knew they needed a big reaction after the week previous. But look, that's one, as far as I'm concerned, game 1 of 4 against the league leaders, and we've plenty of time to claw points back against them over the course of the season. So listen, there was disappointment, but the main thing about disappointment was how you react to it, and that's how we did against Loughall, getting 3 points. So as far as we're concerned and the manager was concerned, that was the perfect way to bounce back, and if we can get a little run going now of points instead, keeping in touch with the boys that are on top of us at the moment. I think Blinfield are top of the table at the moment, as long as we're always an eye-catching distance and you come around to play them every so often. If you can chip points off them, we'll be up there for sure, I think.
I alluded to it right at the very start. It nearly feels like it's hard to know what day it is at the moment. It's everywhere you look, there are games, and it's wonderful. Your Friday, Tuesday coming up, you've got Ballymena United away. That's your immediate match. So let's talk about that one first. They don't have any points on the board, but nobody wants to be the team that they change that against.
No, exactly. I thought they were going to get a point against Linfield. I was watching the game, I think it was the last Friday on TV with my fingers crossed, and it's always deflating watching them score last minute. It's a great way to win a game of football, scoring in at the dying end of a game. But no, they'll be disappointed, they'll be wounded, for sure. Like, I'm sure I've been in teams before where you're just struggling to get that first win of the season, and don't get me wrong, confidence is probably low, but I'm sure their manager will have them fired up to get their first point or points on the board. And as you said, you don't want to be the first team that loses to them, so we'll go in with the greatest respect to them, but hopefully do our side of things and get our season up and running with 3 wins from 4. It's probably not too bad a start, to be honest. It's a nice good ground up there. I think it's a big pitch from what I remember at my time at Cliftonville, so no, I'll look forward to it. Nice and dippy. It's been raining in Belfast all week, so some of the pitches in the league at the moment can be quite dry, so we don't mind that if it's get us down and play a bit of football.
Yeah, it should be a good game. Tuesday will certainly be an exciting match. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be there for your game against Crusaders. You mentioned you were disappointed that it didn't go ahead last weekend. Tuesday night, do you mind midweek games? I suppose full-time footballers, it's just another day, isn't it? But Crusaders, if you need anything to base their form on, my poor hometown team went down 9-0 to them. They're always going to be a tough ask, but at the moment in particular they look like they're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, well, to answer the first part of the question, as a footballer, I don't mind the midweek games, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, whatever they come. I love it, to be honest, because particularly if you're doing well, if you score a goal or if you get an assist or you win a match, you're just constantly craving that high or that adrenaline again. You're like, right, when can I do it again? And thankfully, in this league with the busy schedule, if you score on the Friday or the Saturday, great. I get a chance to do that again on the Tuesday, and that's how momentum is built, and that's how confidence gets from 0 to 100 very quickly when the games are rolling in and you're constantly doing well. On the flip side, if things aren't going well and you've had a bad game or you've lost two on the bounce, like, oh geez, right, I wouldn't mind a week of no football just to get the head right and go again. So there's pros and cons to it. Where we're at the moment, doing well and winning the last game, we just want them coming thick and fast, and that means more points on the board. Crusaders have obviously had a great start to the season. I think they're unbeaten, and they had a great showing in Europe against Rosenborg. It would have been a very respected outfit across Europe. So no, we'll go into that game very fine-tuned. We'll obviously deal with Ballymena hopefully, and I'd imagine we'll be in over the weekend to prepare for Crusaders. And I think Warren said that nobody was talking about them, but after winning 9-0, I think the whole country's talking about them, so that might add a bit more pressure to them. Rather than being underdogs from 4 days ago, they'll have turned that around quite quickly. So I think that might actually favour us in a way.
That is a very good point as well. There's just so many talented players on the pitch. I look forward to seeing who prevails. And in terms of your own teammates, you're getting to know people now. Some of the big personalities, Glentoran fans will be keen to know, you know, who are this year's messers, who are in charge of the playlist in the dressing room, all that sort of thing. What have you learned so far from the bunch of lads that you're playing with?
Yeah, well, we've very little shy characters in the dressing room, that's for sure, but I consider that a good thing. First thing first, as soon as I walked in, I had to turn the speaker off Junior. Anyway, his tunes were abysmal, and I think the whole dressing room were on board with that decision, so I'm the local resident DJ at the moment. So far, so good. I think there's a few dodgy tunes in there, but that's always the case. But if you back yourself with the music, more people kind of get on board, so I'm happy with that decision. Bobby Burns would be loud and proud and they're alright. Aaron McCary would chuck in his opinions. Foda obviously has come in from Larne, he's bringing his own ideas and stuff from the way they've done things and having his opinion. So no, look, it's great, and the more kind of senior pros you get in a dressing room like that, no matter how divided they are, if they have strong opinions of how things should be done in football from different experiences and past clubs, the better, because it's, how do you say it, like, it's a wealth of experience in the dressing room that can only lead to good outcomes, I think, going forward.
I'm liking this idea of DJ Dara, so give us an idea. What sort of tunes are you spinning at the moment?
Junior was playing his London music and his rap and his drill and this, and wasn't going down too well, I don't think. So I'm more dance music, bit of old school 2000s, 2010 dance music, lively stuff like that, just to get boys up for games. Now I could be booted off if we lose a few games because lads are superstitious. So if we start losing a few games, I'm sure I'll be booted. But no, it's an open playlist. If anyone wants to fling songs onto it, they're more than welcome. It's not a dictatorship.
It's funny that, isn't it, football and superstitions. The footballers can be quite superstitious. Do you have any yourself?
I wouldn't say superstitions per se. No, I'm flexible enough, but I think every footballer likes a routine. So I'll have the same pre-match the night before a game. I'd like to wake up ballpark around the same time every morning of a match, same lunch, same breakfast. I'd have my supplements at the same time. So they're probably all routine more so than superstitions, but I could go out if I did something wrong or I slept in. It wouldn't be the end of the world. I wouldn't go panicking. But I think most footballers would have some form of habits and stuff like that, whether it's left boot first, right boot first. I'm not that detailed, but I have seen boys do that, or they shin guards on a particular way. So we're a strange bunch, because if you do something one day and you score a hat-trick, you're thinking, Jesus, right, I have to do that every day and I'll score a hat-trick. But lo and behold, that's not how football works. And ultimately, it's what you do on the pitch, not off the pitch, that matters. And I think we need to remind ourselves about that quite often.
Yeah, it's a good point, well made. Just having a little chuckle at that. I'm sure everyone can think of their own particular examples or maybe peculiar examples. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about Sam Ashford, someone that you know well, a former teammate of yours at Ayr United. He is coming to the Irish League. He signed for Cliftonville. What's he going to bring?
He'll bring pace. He'll bring runs in behind, link play, good football brain on him. He's kind of been in my ear for the last couple of months when I was at Ayr, because I kind of had told a few boys I'd potentially planned to come back, and then they'd all been asking me, oh, what's the league like? Who are the best teams? What's this like? What's that like? So I've been kind of drip feeding him information since about May, I think, when he was first contacted by Cliftonville. So it's been in the works for a long time, and I think a week has gone by without him phoning me up to ask me about different things and whatnot. So no, he's delighted to come, and I think he was dealt a raw deal at Ayr. He's obviously a striker or a number 10, just off the striker type player. So he was played out wide in a 4-4-2 often with Ayr, where a lot of it was industrial work with tracking back and just putting early crosses into the box, and it didn't really suit his game, I don't think. So for his sake, I hope he flourishes. Not too much, obviously, that they overtake us, but I'll certainly be keeping an eye out for him, and we might go for coffee here and there when we're not playing each other, if that's permitted, I don't know, with rivalries these days. But no, he's a good guy, and one of the nicest guys in football. I'm sure he'll get along well with Cliftonville, and the fans will endear to him soon.
Well, there you go, Cliftonville fans. That's a nice little insight. Thank you, Dara, for that. And it's something Cliftonville are crying out for at the moment, with so many of their strikers out injured. They don't want Ben Wilson to be too lonely up there, so someone to help link up play with him. And by the way, I do think you are allowed to fraternise with the enemy. Those days are gone. I know fans will probably tweet me afterwards and go, no, no, no. But most players do it now, don't they?
Yeah, to an extent, obviously. I think we played him on the 5th of September in the Oval, so I'll probably cut communication that week, just so you don't want to get too pallid and bleeding up to a game. Subconsciously or not, it might affect things, but I have a habit of not doing that when I play my friends. So, I think it's more than fair these days, as long as you do it appropriately and you're not telling them this, or you're not telling them who's playing. But we're wise enough not to do that this day and age, in particular. So, no, listen, for him coming over from Scotland, obviously being English, it's complete unknown territory for him. And even, well, where should I go for eat? Where should I do this? It's nice to have someone on the ground that can show you the ropes. And I had a few people like that in Glasgow, and it meant a lot to me when I was over there. So, no, and the lads that I remember at Cliftonville were bang on as well. So I'm sure he'll settle in quite quick.
Is there not a part of you, though, wanting to do what Newcastle have done to Tonali and just send him to places that are, you know, maybe culturally significant to locals, but maybe for anyone coming in, you're going, what in the name of goodness have I just stepped into?
Yeah, there is probably, yeah. Now, Belfast obviously can be quite divided as well, so you don't know what way to send boys at times. So if you want to send me somewhere nice, low-key, that, yeah, I could shaft him, that'd be great. You can send me a private text after him, assuming he's not listening to this. But I'm sure some of the Cliftonville boys will get him up to speed soon enough, and if they shaft him, they shaft him. That'll be their decision to do.
Well, I'm going to have to ask that question at some stage now, because I'm just curious. Dara, great to be catching up with you. Well done for your start to the season, and thanks very much for coming on to The Score.
No problem, Michael. Thank you very much.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, let's talk to a man who's been doing so well, he's earned himself a brand new contract. It is the Larne number one keeper, Rowan Ferguson, who joins us on the programme now. It's good to talk to you, Rowan. How are you?
Thanks very much. Cheers, Michael. First of all, I'd like to say when you do. I was kind of heard about it a few weeks ago, so kind of after Europe. So as soon as I heard, then I was kind of just wanted to get it done, to be honest with you. I love it a lot, so it was a no-brainer, really.
The club have been working hard in recent weeks, tying down some big players, Andy Ryan, Lee Bonus, your captain, Tomas Cosgrove, all signing new deals, so it's a sign, and maybe no surprise after winning the league, that they're happy with some of their mainstays.
Yeah, of course. I think everyone who got a new deal, I think, has had a really good season. Obviously, we're in the league for the first time in the club's history, and fair play to Gaffer and stuff like that, who have kind of rewarded the boys who done well. So, not everybody's delighted to stay on.
Did you get much time to celebrate being champions? It felt like you were no sooner finished the league than you were into Europe.
Nah, we didn't get too much time off, to be honest. All the boys went. All the boys kind of went to Marbella, and we kind of went there for 5 days or so. Then, so we maybe had a good 3 weeks or so off, 3-4 weeks off. Then we all basically stayed back in preparing for Europe. But to be honest, you can't complain. You know, you play football as your job, so I'm happy I have done that most days. So it's, you don't mind.
So I'm guessing you packed a lot of fun into 5 days.
Aye, we got as much as we could in, just try to get a bit of sunlight and stuff in. So it was good. It was a good trip. All the boys and stuff behaved. So it was good. It was good. It was well earned.
And that success last season, how sweet did that feel? Because it felt like so many people were looking at Lauren and saying, are they ever going to do it? Will they be able to? There's a lot of sceptics out there in the world of football. I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, there is. I think the first year I came, I think we got into Europe for the playoffs. But to be honest, we had a disappointing season, myself included. I thought we could have done a lot better because, listen, we had good players there. We had really good players there, and we probably underachieved even though we made Europe. So the next game season, we obviously came in, we had a lot of chats and stuff like that about what we could do better. And to be honest, it was kind of a bit of weight off our shoulders. It was more of a relief for me winning it because I know how good the players we had in the building was. I know we do everything well, the coaches and stuff, the amount of work they put in. So it was a bit of a relief more than honestly, rather than being buzzing, because I know how much talent there is in the building on and off the pitch. We were just delighted to get over the line in the end.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's amazing how many players actually say that, because you're under so much pressure. I don't know how you even really perceive it, because even now, you know, as you've just alluded to, you win the league, 3 weeks later you're already into the next season, so there's not a lot of time to take things in. It's just go.
Yeah, definitely. That's just the way football is. You're basically on your next game straight away, and obviously once we won the league, we had a wee break. Then I was kind of forgot about, to be honest with you. We kind of got the plaudits and stuff towards the end of the season, but then, as I say, it's a new season. We're not champions anymore. It's a brand new season, so we can't be getting held up on last season. This year's a brand new challenge, and I'm sure we'll do everything we can to retain the title again.
And you probably want to do as much as you can to put that first game of the season behind you collectively. 4-4 against Dungan and Swifts, one of the most remarkable games I can recall in quite some time in the Premiership, because a lot of people were going, well, that's Larne home and dry at 4-1, and then the next 10 minutes were absolute bedlam.
Yeah, it was. It was probably one of the weirdest games I've played in. But no, it was disappointing. It was very disappointing then, because that's not usually like us. I don't think we've really had a result like that, being 3 goals up. Or even usually when we're up, we usually hold on. We're good at holding on, a lot of game management and stuff like that. But just probably too many individual errors, myself included. But no, it wasn't good enough. But listen, fair play to Dungannon. They never gave in. They fought to the end, and obviously got a good point in the end for them. But. Fair point of view, disappointing, but as I say, fair play to Dungannon for sticking to it.
I was talking to Dara O'Connor earlier from Glentoran, and he was saying it was probably the worst time to play Larne after that Dungannon result, because you really came into it, you know, with a bit between your teeth. Some people are going, oh, were they going to wobble again? But you were very assured in that game at the Oval.
Yeah, I think last year when if we did get beat, one of our biggest strengths was we always reacted well. And I think we've done that after the Dungannon game. Obviously, we went and got a good 3 points against Glens away, which is a very hard place to go in the league. So I thought we'd done well, and as I say, it was a good reaction to the boys.
And then the victory over Ballymena United and a draw against Coleraine. I mean, looking at the four games, we're all perfectionists in football, I think. Is it frustration there that it's the points tally you have, or are you relatively pleased for this stage of the season?
A bit of both, I think. A bit of both. Obviously, you want to win every game. One thing about Larne is we're certainly not going to be happy with a draw, no matter who we play against. So it was, but listen, Coleraine's a hard place to go. They've got a good squad. I think we had a few injuries, they had a few injuries. So I think in the end, us hopefully it can prove to be a good point. As I say, we'll never be happy with a point that we're on now if the paydays are over, that's for sure.
Well, that's just the standards that everybody's bringing in. And speaking of bringing things in, even more Scottish friends for you now.
Yeah, there is. I told Tierney when I first came in, I think it was me and John Hearn to start off with. And I told him, I said, try and get a few Scots over. So now he's provided, and I think there's, what, five in now? I think it's me, Joe, Scott Armstrong, Sean, and Andy Ryan. So, yeah, five in, and hopefully we get another few in added before the window. You just never know.
Now, is that a hint, or is that just pure speculation?
No, just speculation. Nah, to be honest, I don't know. But listen, I would like a fellow Scot to come again. You can never have enough Scots, but that's for sure.
Well, there's a fairly decent advert for it now when you've seen Lauren's success. And the other thing I was thinking about, Rowan, is the league gets so much coverage now. It's a great chance for players to put themselves in the shop window compared to maybe what they would get, say, playing in the Scottish Championship, as an example.
Yeah, as a lot of people always try and compare what it's like being playing in the Scottish Champ or playing here or playing the Premiership over there, but yep, you get a lot more coverage over here, and I think this league's gone from strength to strength. Obviously, of course, Blanc's full time, Rennes are full time, Linfield's full time, I think Crusaders are kind of hybrid, so yeah, it gives young players a chance to go and prove themselves. I think, as I say, there's a lot of English teams who are looking, or teams who are abroad who are looking at this league, probably more than they would look over in the Scottish Championship. So it gives young players a good chance to come over and maybe get a move across the water or something like that.
And bringing in a player like Scott Allen into the club, I mean, it does sort of show you that growth now, where the market that our full-time teams can certainly look to operate within.
Yeah, definitely. Scott Allen's massive. What a signing that is, obviously. His CV speaks for himself. Celtic, Hibs, among the few. So, well, to sign someone like Scott Allen, I think it's a big statement for the club. And as you say, yep, I think teams from over here now, especially Larne, have got that built to sign players like that. Especially with the facilities and stuff they've got, and the success, and obviously playing in Europe as well, it's a massive pull. And I think for the club have made it very very known to us that's their next stage. They want to make group stage football, so I think that will definitely happen, whether it's us or someone in the Irish League. The teams are definitely pushing year on year, so hopefully it's us come soon, hopefully.
And there's such great competition within the league now as well. It's just not easy, is it? People talk about every game's a difficult game, but you look at that top half, and there's at least four contenders for the title in that this year. And maybe some people would argue that there's five or six.
Yeah, there is. As I say, you can go through them all. You go through all the teams and all the squads. As I say, on paper, listen, anybody could win it. Anybody can win. There's very good players in every team. So yeah, I think this year as well will be a very hard year for everyone. I think it'll go down to the wire. But no, you're right. Even the bottom six. You know, I mean, the bottom six in a day can take teams off anyone. So it's no games are given. You can't go into any game thinking you're going to be comfortable. You need to be on your game. And that's probably what makes the league good.
Looking at your next game, it is against one of the big teams. It's against Cliftonville. You're going to Solitude on Saturday. You don't need any motivation for a match like that. Do players of your experience get excited going into games like that, or are you really just quite calm?
Yeah, listen, I get excited to play anyone, but listen, obviously once you play the bigger teams or the more the kind of top six teams, yeah, it feels good. Solitude's actually a stadium I love to play at. It's feisty down there. The fans and stuff are good. The fans are always on your case. they've got a lot of fans as well, which is good. So no, it's a good place to play. But it's Solitude, so hopefully we can do well.
They're missing a few players through injury at the moment, but I'm just curious in general. You've had enough time in the Irish League now to come up against some of the best attacking players. Is there one that you think has a particularly powerful shot, or one that you think forces the best out of you more than others?
Powerful shot, yeah. Can I say my team, Lee Bonas?
Yeah, yeah, you can.
I can see him, Lee Bonas, yeah. Lee hits it with some power, yeah. I think about the other kind of players. Phil Gormley's good. Phil Gormley's a good player as well, yeah. As I say, he's scored a lot of goals over the years. It's always a good contest between me and Joe Gormley or even other strikers in the league. As I say, there's strikers in this league who have been here for years and scored a lot of goals. So it's good. Glasgow Gormley brings the best out of me. So for it happens Saturday again.
Your new deal, by the way, in case anyone hasn't seen it, I should say, until the summer of 26, and people will be hoping that it goes even further than that. The incredible thing, Rowan, is the fact that you're, what, 25 now?
25, yep.
I mean,
yep.
That's a baby in goalkeeping years.
Yeah, I think it's young enough. One thing that I've always tried to do was always kind of went anywhere that I was going to play. Mm-hmm. So I've racked up maybe over 200 first team appearances. I'll be close to that. So yeah, it's good. As I say, listen, all anyone ever wants to do is play. So I've been fortunate enough that any kind of club I've went bar maybe one I've played. So it's just all about kind of getting experience and enjoying yourself at the same time.
And were you always going to be a goalkeeper?
No, I used to play at field actually when I was younger.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to play at field and kind of played with the school team and stuff, and used to kind of chop and change and go on goals, and I'd play out field for a few years and stuff like that. And I think it was maybe 10 or 11 I started being serious, and I just obviously stuck at it and kind of played for the next obviously a few years being a goalkeeper.
So who was the brave person that said to you, look, try going net, son?
That was actually, funny enough, it was my gran. My gran was watching training one day and she chucked me in. Yeah, she says to the coach, listen, he always dives about like mad, so I'd be trying him in goals. And yeah, ever since then, yeah, it kind of stuck.
Hey, she knows her onions.
She does, aye. She does, so I'll give her that.
That's fantastic. That's a nice little surprise. I'm glad I asked that question now.
Yeah.
And in terms of your career, have you any aspirations, any big goals you want to tick off? Being able to, you know, fight and earn that place as the number one keeper for Larne and then secure your place in history as a league winning goalkeeper for them. I mean, you're only going from strength to strength yourself, but have you anything else in, you know, down the road that you look at and think, you know, maybe one day?
To be honest, I actually don't. I try and just come in every day, work as hard as I possibly can. And just try and enjoy myself as much as I can as well. It's a short career. I know people who are kind of even goalkeepers and players who are finished now. And the one advice I always give you is just enjoy it. And listen, as I say, maybe if you keep doing well, you never know where it can take you. But I think for me anyway, if you start looking too far ahead of yourself, you kind of forget where you are, or you kind of forget the present. So now I just try and come in every day, enjoy it, work as hard as I can, and listen, hopefully it takes me. Hopefully it stands me in good stead.
Wonderful. It's a really good answer, and for any young players listening to that, there's a bit of information, a bit of advice that'll do you well to stick by. You know, if you enjoy it, keep going. Rowan, thanks so much for making yourself available, for coming onto the programme this week. I've really enjoyed chatting to you.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Michael. Okay, take care.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Great having Rowan Ferguson of Larne on the programme now. Fans of the Premier Intermediate League have had to wait patiently for their league season to start, but this weekend it does, a full host of fixtures, 7 matches with this 14-team league. That is Armagh City against Tobermore United, Limavady United against Bambridge Town, Myola Park take on Warren Point Town, Port Stewart host Coke United, PSNI welcome Dollingstown, and Queen's University are on their travels. They head to Ivy Park to play Rough Ryland Rangers. The one fixture I left out is because we're about to talk about it now. Lisburn Distillery against Ballymacash Rangers. And let's hear from the Ballymacash boss, Lee Forsyth. Lee, great to have you on the show. How are you?
All good, Michael. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Great to be speaking to you again. I know you wouldn't have had much of a summer break because you've had cup action.
Yes, it's a weird season, or a weird start for the PAL clubs, because we've obviously got Steel and Sons games and some clubs are Irish Cup matches before the league campaign starts. So everybody I think is really, really looking forward to getting back into league action. Cup games are cup games, you know, but the league is what makes everybody excited, and that's what everybody wants to be involved in.
I suppose the other way of looking at it is rather than just, you know, pre-season littered with friendly games, you got some competitive matches to start off with. I don't know, you know, is that a good thing? Maybe you want a few more practice goes before you actually are being judged.
No, I mean, the cup games are good. They're better than friendlies in that they do have the competitive edge to it. We've had a couple of really tough games. I mean, the game away to Shankill was a really, really tough game for us, and I think it, in a way, hopefully it's a good thing, especially that we brought a few new faces into the club. It's give those guys an opportunity just for a feel for it in terms of how we want to play, and just a feel for their teammates, and learn about the club and the fans, to get to know them maybe. So it does work well. I think I don't mind having a couple of cup games, but I just think it, with the championship and the other Irish League games all started, you know, the PAL are the last to kind of officially get going, so everybody's really, really thirsty to get into league action.
Because you mentioned the Shankill United game, I think I have to mention Gary Warwick's goal.
Yeah, listen, no, Gary, I mean, to be fair to Gary, he's played for me before at Knockbreda, and you know, that's what Gary does. You know, Gary can be quiet in games, and then he can just pop up with a moment of magic, and that goal was as good a goal as you'll see probably anywhere. And to be fair, it's probably what we needed that day against Shankill, because they had defended really, really well against us, and their keeper was magnificent, so it needed to be something special. But no, that's what Gary does, and I say he actually scored in a friendly away to Dungannon. He scored for us. I think a left-footed effort from nearly the halfway line. So, you know, Gary scores a lot of good goals, so hopefully it'll not be the last for this season.
How are you feeling off the back of last season? Second place finish in the league. You go to the playoffs and you give it a right go, but you come up just short in the end. It must offer quite a bit of encouragement considering it was your first time in the league.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I think that maybe we were a bit of a surprise package for a lot of clubs at the start, maybe who didn't know about us and didn't know a lot about our players. That won't be the case this time around. And you know, I think we were freshened the squad up. I mean, listen, it was disappointing not to go up. I always kind of continually said I didn't really think we were ready. That probably showed in the games with Knockbreda, that we probably weren't just ready. But I think, you know, we're in a much, much better place this year. We've got a lot of, we've been able to bring the age of the squad down, Michael, which I think was important. We wanted to bring a bit more youth into the team, especially around midfield, and bring legs into it. And I'm also, we've varied that up with a lot of players who know the level and know the league. And listen, it was disappointing not to go up, but I say hopefully in the long run it could be the best thing for the club. But the thing this year, the danger this year is, you know, expectation levels are probably higher around the club, rightly or wrongly. But it's a really, really competitive league. Say, obviously, with Warren Point coming down, and Barry Gray knows the league, he's won the league before. You know, Paul Owens at Limavady knows the league, he's won the league before. And they've signed really, really well. I know the likes of Port Stewart and Moyola, and, you know, even Distillery, you know, they've all signed well. They're all much, much stronger than last season. So, Rathfore Island, I have to say as well, coming into the league from the Amateur League, I know Ali Wilson well, and a great team they have, and the success they've had in the past. So, I think for a neutral, I mean, the PAL is such an exciting league this year. I think there's so many teams that could be up there challenging. It's really, really hard to work out who is going to be up there. It's going to be a case of consistency and a wee bit of luck, and I think that's what you need in a league campaign as well. So you know, it's obviously a new 14 team league this year, and there's no split, and so, you know, every game from the very, very start is going to be really, really important, and obviously none more so than this Saturday.
It was certainly something that had everyone talking. There was opinions left, right and centre about the changing of the league. What are your thoughts on the new format?
The new format, I don't have an issue with how that format was devised. I kind of had a bit of an issue with last season. I thought it was really poor, the way that, you know, the delay and the big delay and the hold on. And I thought, you know, for me, these things don't happen in other countries. You know, you don't see these disasters in England and Scotland and stuff. So that was frustrating from our point of view. I was really disappointed. I thought it was really unfair on all the kind of clubs that were involved in the playoffs. You know, certainly from our players, we've had to keep our guys going for another extra 4 weeks. I thought that was really unfair on them. But at the end of the day, the outcome now with the 14-team league, I don't have a problem with. I think it looks exciting. I think it's certainly going to be a much, much stronger league. It's probably, again, to our detriment with a 14-team league and Moran Point coming down and you know, how competitive the league's going to be. But as a product for NPHL, I think it's going to be a really exciting exciting showcase for people to come and watch. And I say, especially for the, you know, in today's kind of economy, you know, you're getting really, really good value for money, and you're going to be getting a really good standard of football. I think in the PAL, it's not kind of what it was like maybe 15 years ago. You know, it's going to be a really, really good product this year. With, you know, I don't think that there's going to be much between a lot of the clubs.
So with what you've seen and how you've recruited, you're not worried about a difficult second season, are you?
We've definitely improved, Michael. There's no doubt about that. But I say, football's really, really funny. I'm never one to look and make kind of predictions and set myself targets. My aims and my objectives is fully on the Distillery game on Saturday. That literally, I don't have. I'm not given. I don't work to that, you know, in terms of, oh, you have to finish here, you have to do that, or you need to get so many points out of this game, you need to win so many points at home. So I don't work like that at all. I give the absolute same in every single game I go into. So it doesn't matter whether we're away to the Distillery, whether we're home to the PSNI, you know, whether we're away to Warren Point Town, we'll go into every single game to win it. And that is our aim. Our aim is to kind of go and get 3 points from every single game and see where it takes us. And it's really how we approached last season. I think there certainly is added pressure on us this year, maybe from the outside, but not within the club. I don't feel that within the club. I don't feel that from the supporters. I think we have probably overachieved in a way in terms of how far the club have came in such a short space of time. You know, we've went from kind of being, you know, just a normal club in the Mid-Ulster League, and we've got promotion really, really quickly. And last year being our first season in the PAL, there's always the danger of that kind of, you know, dreaded second season and being able to back it up again. And that is the challenge. That's a challenge for us as a management staff, it's a challenge for the players. You know, but it's one, listen, that's what we're in football for. You want to be in football. I certainly want to be in football, to be involved with pressure and big games, and, you know, be involved in good, healthy competition. That for me is the reason I do it. You know, I don't want the play teams and have easy victories, and, you know, I want to play against the best and, you know, try to beat the best, and that's kind of what motivates us. So hopefully there's a lot of talk about other clubs this year. There's obviously going to be talk about ourselves, but, you know, we just kind of try to remain humble and hard working, and I don't think you'll get an easy game this year. I don't think anybody will run away with the league. Well, certainly we run banger close last year, but I don't think anybody will maybe have the be as convincing a champions as Bangor were last year. I think it will be more competitive throughout the league.
The way things have worked out too, it's actually a double header against Distillery, because you have them away from home on Saturday in the league, and then League Cup action on Tuesday at the Bluebell. Just a little quirk how it's ended up working out like that.
Yeah, listen, football throws up these things all the time, you know. But certainly to start the season away at, you know, with your derby, you know, your rivals, you know, it could be an easier game, but I'd say the same, it could have been far easier for Distillery as well, you know. But listen, it'll be a really great spectacle. I think it'll probably be the pick of the opening day fixtures. There'll be a lot of coverage and a lot of people looking at it, but, you know, Distillery have strengthened as well. Barry's done a really good job as well from what he came into at Distillery. So really, really competitive. Again, these are the games that you want to be in. I think there'll be a really good crowd at the game. I certainly know that last year, even when we played Distillery down there, it was an unbelievable attendance at Ballyskeagh that day. So I'm hoping for more of the same. And I say, look, may the best team win. Hopefully that's us. But I say, we'll give it everything we've got.
And for anyone that hasn't maybe been paying, you know, close attention to your transfer activity, some familiar names coming in. Christopher Crane announced this week, Fra Brennan coming in last month. What are you hoping players like them are going to add to your squad this year?
Well, know-how. You know, again, I say a few of the players that have signed for me, you know, have either played for me before or have been trying to sign them. I mean, I was laughing, signed Marty Bradley, and I was laughing. I've actually been trying to sign Marty Bradley, looking back through my text for them from 2018. So, you know, consistency, you know, has paid off for me. But no, the likes of Fran, say Christopher Crane this week was a wee bonus. We didn't expect that one to come up. But we brought Carl McComb in, Big Benny Egerton in. You know, we have brought in good quality players, but it's also up to those guys to kind of, because they're obviously replacing people. You know, people are saying about the size of our squad, but we've also let 9 players go. You know, 9 players have left at the other end of things. So it's up for the new guys to replace them, and to do as well as maybe some of the players who have left and who have moved on and who are maybe coming to the end of their career. But I'm really happy, to be honest, with the squad. I say picking a team now is probably the hardest thing, you know. But I say, you know, as Davey Lemon, you know, on my staff says to me, you know, it's what he calls champagne problems, you know, trying to pick, because there's such good quality throughout the team, and it's so close. There's no real standout performers. Everybody's within a chance of each other. You know, there's nobody really who are much better than the other players. So that's what you want. You want that competitiveness through the squad. And I say I'm really excited for the new players coming in. And I think, you know, I hope that they will be able to hit the ground running. That's the wee concern. That's the wee danger. It might take them a few weeks to settle in, but hopefully not. You know, but I've no doubt that whatever happens on Saturday, Michael, I think we will only get stronger as the weeks go on. You know, as these guys kind of gel and get to play with each other more and more, I think we will get stronger.
Last season you had maybe one of the most entertaining games of any of the leagues. I'm thinking specifically, and I'm sure you could guess, the game at the Dub, where you eventually won 5-4, having led 3-0 and at one point trailed 4-3. You'd probably take a few more 1-0s this season.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, look, we're set up to score goals. That's what we're set up to do. You know, anybody who plays us know that we want to attack. We attack in numbers. We get men forward into the box, and we're scoring an awful lot of goals. I think we were joint top goal scorers in the league last year with Bangor. And that is probably our aim defensively. If we can improve that goals against column a wee bit, you know, say even maybe by, you know, if we can concede even 5-7 goals less than we did last year and scored the same amount of goals, you know, hopefully it'll put us in a stronger position. But yeah, no, listen, we want to score goals. We try to find that balance. I'm always, as a manager, kind of, you know, at 1-0, I'm not really one to shut up shop and, you know, put extra men back and sit and defend the lead. I've always kind of been on the front foot and look for the second goal. But that does give you entertaining games, but that's also about the players we've got. You know, we've got entertaining players who want to score goals and you know, want to create chances. So it's done us okay so far. Teams know what we're about now, Michael. I think that's the other thing. We're not going to be a shock to anybody. We were playing teams last year, maybe for the first time, the next year, Tobermores and stuff, and Port Stewart, who probably even knew who we were as a club. Whereas they, you know, these guys now, and those players now, know us very, very well. So that's the challenge.
Well, I guess for anybody that ends up with a Saturday spare at any stage, you might be thinking, well, maybe the Bluebell's a good place to go and watch football, because they know the type of brand of football you're trying to play, you know, and it is exciting when you see a team that just wants to keep scoring goals.
Yeah, no, listen, the Bluebell, Michael, is you know, I would encourage anybody to come down and say there's a lot of work going on at the club at the minute. We've a new clubhouse going up at the minute, so the car park's a bit of a building site, you know, but that's going to be massive for the club when we get the new building up. It's going to have a gymnasium in it. It's going to have a cryo spa in it. You know, it's a really big feature for the club. But certainly, there's a really good atmosphere at the Bluebell on match days. I can't deny that. I mean, it strikes me from when I came into the club, it's a proper football club. You know, with proper football people, and they live and breathe you know, the football club, and the result on Saturday makes or breaks weekends. You know, but we get a good crowd, and I think we try to entertain. I think we scored enough goals to entertain people. That's at the end of the day what people want to see. So we haven't had too many complaints, but again, that's because we've been winning. I know what football's like as well. You lose a couple of games and you're the worst in the world. So I keep always reminding that the players, you're only as good as your last game. So you know, that's something we try to build on week on week.
And just finally, they were definitely testing me doing the cup draws earlier this week. There was a Phantom Ball incident that we managed to make it through. That was a wee bit scary for a moment, but there was nothing dodgy in terms of how it all worked out, thank goodness. You, for the first time ever, are in the County Antrim Shield, Ballymacash Rangers, heading to the Welders. That's on the 5th of September. And you also now know your Stealing Sons third round opponents being Newcastle the Saturday after that. So just your thoughts on your upcoming cup opponents and being in the County Antrim Shield for the first time.
Yeah, it's fantastic for the club to be in the County Antrim Shield. That was something that I think everybody was looking forward to. Being away to the Welders is not an easy draw. I'm an East Belfast boy. I think anybody who knows me knows I'm an East Belfast boy, and you know, so for me it's a home game. You know, going away to the Welders, but obviously the Welders will be one of the main favourites in the championship. You know, to win the league, and Paul's done an unbelievable job there. I know many of the players have got, so it'll not be an easy game for us. But certainly it's, you know, that'll be a free hit for us. That'll be a game that we have there's no pressure on us, and we've certainly got enough quality in the team, and we've certainly got enough players with the championship experience to go and get a result. So, you know, I think we know we need to be at our very, very best to get a result. But it's a game we're looking forward to. There's not too many games we'll play this year where the pressure won't really be on us. So that's certainly one that won't be the case. You know, we can go and just enjoy that occasion. And certainly, yes, the Stealing Sons as well. Stealing Sons is obviously there's no secret for any of the clubs like us, you know, at our level, you know, Stealing Sons is a big game. There's no doubt we got beaten in the semi-final last year by Bangor 1-0, and they went on to win it. So, you know, we would love to go one better, if not two better, this year. So all you want is a home game, really. You know, we've had two kind of tricky enough away games against Shankill and Bloomfield in the first two rounds, so it's nice to get a home draw. But say again, that'll be a rule reversal. But Newcastle will come, and again, all the pressure will probably be on us for that game, and they can come and enjoy their day. And I'm sure they'll not make it easy for us. And I know they have a couple of very good players, just from the amateur league kind of connections. So yeah, look, one game at a time. See, I don't look too far ahead. To be honest, I'm not even looking to the distillery, the home game on Tuesday night. You know, we'll full focus on Saturday, and we'll see how that goes before we look. But yeah, they're all exciting games to look forward to, and we're in loads of cup competitions, loads of league, you know, fixtures this year with 14 teams, so plenty to look forward to, Michael.
Yes, there won't be too much time off. Another hectic season ahead, but sure, don't we love it. Lee, thank you very much for coming on to The Score.
No problem, thanks for having me on, Michael, appreciate it.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, my thanks to our guests Dara O'Connor, Rowan Ferguson, and as you've just heard, Lee Forsyth. Before I sign off for the week, I just want to say that I had a lovely experience on Tuesday at Windsor Park before the game. One of my favourite things, I think, that's happened in quite some time at a football ground. We had a parent got in touch who said that her son listens to this show every week, and he is a big fan, and he would love a selfie any chance of doing that. Yeah, of course, no problem. So I went and I met him, a little lad by the name of Harry, and he's only 7 years old, but he's playing football, he's loving working with his coach, he's a defender, he gets stuck in and loves winning tackles, and he just loves the league, and he loves everything about it, and his passion, his enthusiasm, his good manners, and everything about him just made me smile, to be honest. I thought, isn't it brilliant to have something you're so passionate about when you're that age? And I hope that he goes and chases his dreams, and wherever it takes him, if you end up rich and famous, Harry, remember me, please. you have to keep yourself right, you know, guys. But no, genuinely, he was a wee star, and it has made my week to meet a young fan of the league. And I'm just glad he listens to this programme. He's obviously very, very sensible. But anyway, thank you to him. And Harry, if you're listening, there you go. We plug for you on the show. But thank you all for joining us every single week for this. I say us because it's never just me chatting. We always have guests. You're always here. And that's what makes it work. So thank you so much. And we'll be back again next week to do it all again here on The Score. But for now, all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.